My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm happy and pleased to be here with you. I enjoy this opportunity to have a serious discussion with you about things that impact our lives now and in the future. We're going to take a short break as we wait for everybody to get called in and so that we can have a serious discussion about the kinds of things that are going on in our nation that we need to address.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man Jay Andre. He got a question to ask.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, today, I'm always looking for interesting things to come on and talk about to my Fantastic Four and to D. We're always looking for things to have discussions and just have openness and honesty with one another. And, you know, I have to mix it up because, you know, in today's environment, you know, we could come on every day and talk about the craziness that's going on in politics. But we don't want to get one-dimensional. We want to make sure that this show here has an opportunity to discuss all kinds of different issues. And I just happened to be going on my Facebook, and I saw a old video. And those of you who want to pull the video up, you can put in the search engine, black female takes her African-American mother to court. And when I played this video, I was just astounded. It was unbelievable to me that someone of this child's age could be spewing out this foolishness that I heard from this young lady. And the judge, who was a dark-skinned black female judge, was just saying some ugly things to her to let her know how foolish she sounded as she spewed out this negative about her mother. So I'm going to just share some of this with you because I realized in history that there were times when there were some biases amongst black African Americans that had to deal with the color of one's skin during slavery, and then outside of slavery, where a number of African Americans were allowed to go switch because of the fact that their slave masters interacted sexually with their slaves, and there were African Americans whose skin color was light enough to allow them to fool people about their race. And so you can justify the fact that there were some people who thought life might be easier if they could buy or could pass as white. But, you know, I had thought we had gone beyond that. You know, I realize that there's some people who have personal biases and personal issues, but I wanted to believe that we were way beyond that in terms of a society of people believing that. And as I researched it, I saw that there were large numbers of Africans who are in a position to buy chemicals that can change their skin tone. And there are Jamaican individuals who are able to do that as well. And some African Americans here in the United States who participate in trying to lighten their skin. And so as I listened to this video, and this woman spewing out this evil ugliness about her mother, the judge literally had to force her to respectfully talk to her mother, call her mother her name, because she initially addressed her as that woman. Now, this is the woman who birthed you, took care of you until you were old enough to be able to take care of yourself, and yet you had the nerve to disrespect her and call her that woman because you were ashamed of her dark skin and that you had decided that you wanted to date white men and try to pass yourself off as something different than African Americans, and then buy into the stereotypes of African Americans such that you talk about in a racist manner about the person you are. And so we just want to talk about a little bit about self-hatred, self-denial, and how do we get beyond the little stuff? How can we even begin to address the big stuff when we have such trouble getting beyond the little stuff? When you can't get beyond the color of your skin, I want to go on record as just saying to you guys, and I want to say this to you on a personal level, as well as on a social level, I have never, ever been unhappy with the color of my skin. I think I'm a chocolate cover. I'm a little darker than light. So I would never even try to say I'm light. I'm a dark chocolate brother. And I've never put anything on my skin other than lotion to try to make it look better and feel better, because, you know, that's just something everybody ought to do. But at no point have I ever looked in the mirror and said, I wish I was lighter, or wish I was white. And on the social side, I have never dated a woman and wanted her to be light-skinned, and she had to be light-skinned. I thought the prettiest woman in the world was a dark-skinned, beautiful woman who took care of her skin and just did what was normal. Dark-skinned, beautiful woman. There is nothing more beautiful to me than a dark-skinned, beautiful woman, and there are a lot of them out there. And now I'm even getting used to like people get caught up in the long hair. No, there's some beautiful women out there with short hair and short stop hairdos and who look gorgeous. You know, so you can be any kind of style you want to, and if you have just the ability to just be proud of who you are, that is going to radiate through you, and you're going to be beautiful, man or woman. So I just wanted to deal today with where in the world, how can we overcome the new issues that we got to deal with when there's still some people out there dealing with the old issue. And I thought that young people had put some of this stuff behind them, but this woman was 27 years of age. Her mother came to visit her at her job, and because she became so upset at her mother visiting her at her job, she was asked to leave her job, and she was suing her mother for $600, money that she lost as a result of her mother coming on her job. And again, this woman is 27 years of age. And so I just want to talk about how do we alleviate these kinds of self-hatred in young people? And I hope to God old people have gotten over it. But how did this find its way into young people again, and we still dealing with this issue? I just want to welcome Dee and Felicia, and I want to welcome Joyce. And we're just having the discussion of why we can't get over this issue of the color of our skin and just embrace the fact that we got the rainbow in our race. Dee, what is your thoughts about this?
Hey, everybody. Jane, let me get this right. So the young lady was what the old folks used to call, she was passing as white. And then when her dark-skinned mother came to her job, that ruined the facade that she was trying to portray. Am I right?
Yeah, that's what she was passing. I don't know. I'm sure that they thought she was mixed, but were unsure what she was mixed with. And she was giving out that she didn't have. She was definitely not black. The way she carried on at court, she let you know that she didn't have anything in her that was African American. And she's 27 years of age.
Okay.
And her mother is dark skinned and worked as a maid to raise her, and she lived with white, you know, her mother was one of the maids that lived in the house with white people. So she was surrounded by white adolescent young people.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you will forgive me, I'm the old people that you spoke of. I come from a different chapter. And so I'm on the pass just yet. And if you would, that's about two or three people down, come back to me.
All right. Joyce, are you there? Joyce, I sent out share the video. Were you able to get the video I sent out?
Well, I'm going on I just came home. So let me go. I just came home. I'm going on my email right now, but I just heard what you said. It's pathetic. She has a identity problem. It reminds me of that movie long, long time ago. And if you're from the old school, do you know what I'm talking about? I Pass for White.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That was a very difficult movie to watch.
Very difficult, and it is difficult for me to hear what this young lady, she did. She defied her mother. Unreal.
Mm-hmm.
She needs a reality check. She needs her butt whipped, really.
Mm.
That's pathetic.
Right. I mean,
that reminds me of that situation.
It made it very easy to become violent, and you could tell by the tone of the judge that the judge was just nearly about to bust. And she called the girl some things from the bench that you wouldn't normally have a judge say to a someone who was suing somebody. And from the very beginning, she referred to her mother as that woman. And the judge right away said to her, "Are you talking about your mother when you say that woman?" She said, "Yes." And then the judge said, no, you will refer to her by her name if you're not going to say my mother. And then she went on to use the woman's name. But here you have a situation where a person was very well taken care of. Her mother had to work all times of day and night to make sure that she was raised properly. According to her, she left home and became involved with a white man at the age of 16 and went on to go to college. But again, at no time, and even now at the present, she had no shame in the way she behaved. And again, you can get that video by going and Googling on YouTube, Black Female Takes Her Mother to Court. And it is just amazing to me that we are still in 2017 dealing with some people who have not been able to come to grips with the color of their skin or their heritage. And again, I'm asking, if we can't deal with this issue, how can we get beyond self-hatred when we can't get beyond our skin color? And I say to you that I find all the different skin tone colors to be beautiful, and I just don't see how in the world it is possible for somebody this girl's age to not be able to grasp hold of the pride that she should have in her people. Kathy, were you able to get the video that I sent?
Yes, I did look at it, James.
Can you tell me your sense of, if you got a chance to watch it, what did it make you boil, or what, or did you just realize that they're just people like that?
Well, I was thinking about that was Judge Madeline, right?
Right.
And is that an old clip? Because Judge Madeline is not doing court shows anymore, right?
Right. It's an older clip. But the young lady is still not only 20; she's 27 years of age now. So it's just saying that here's someone under the age of 30 who's still having identity issues. And I went on to say, because I did some research, that it is very prevalent in Africa and in Jamaica, and here in America, that some people are bleaching their skin in order to lighten their skin up. So there is still some issues being dealt with by some people of color related to their skin tone.
Yeah, those people are not happy with themselves. I mean, we see that all the time. You know, I did watch the video, but then I thought it seemed like it was the show, like everybody else said, the show, The Imitation of Life. And I was like, okay, are they just rehearsing the show to redo the show over, because the show was actually sad? But now you're saying that it actually happened. So, yeah, that's saddening. And again, I just had a conversation with somebody about their beauty, their true beauty, which is not defined by how they look, but it's what's on the inside of them. So people are still struggling with the way that they look. I mean, and if you look at it on the flip side, the other people want to have what we have, and we don't even love ourselves and enjoy the beauty that we have been given.
And it's true, and you say that quite often. And I when I went on and I looked at some of the different shows, and you have African American celebrities who are now endorsing these bleaching chemicals to Africa and to other places around the world who have predominantly dark skinned African Americans there. And having them do this ritual daily in order to lighten their skin as though they can't be beautiful with their own skin tone. And I said initially, I understand if you take good care of your skin, regardless of the pigment, if you put lotion and cocoa butter or whatever it is you might want to do, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making sure your skin is healthy, but to actually be putting chemicals in your skin that goes to the depth of the pigment in order to lighten it up is just self-hatred to me. And I can't even begin to understand why anybody would want to possibly poison themselves in order to get their skin color lightened. Joyce?
Right, I agree with you 100%. Like I say, it's definitely someone who's not comfortable with who they are, you know. And my thing is, why would you want to do that? Why would you think that someone else is much better than who you really are? You know, that baffles me. But, you know, it's not knowing who you are, believing in yourself. You know, so she has issues. And I think what the main thing is that it was totally confusing, because what the mother probably let her get away with when she was under that umbrella of the white folks that she was caring for. So if they had her to treat her in a certain way and she grew up, but I can't understand how she would not bring her mom along with her. You see what I'm saying by that?
Right.
How could you denounce your mom? You know, what make you think that you better than your mom? Or who do you think you are? It's ridiculous. That's definitely identity issues with not being comfortable in her own skin. And I'm assuming so in her heart, and for her getting so upset for her mom to show up and the whole bit. But how did she make her mom feel? Now, her mom could have addressed that two ways. She would have felt really bad, or she would have let her know that who she is, what she's all about, and the whole bit. Never denounce your mom. Never, never, ever do that. So I'm hoping that her mom gave her some type of, not type of a scolding, but some type of a talk right in the public to really, you know, bring her to grip as to who she is so she can think. And hopefully,
part of the issue was not only her color, but she disrespected the fact that her mom didn't get a chance to go to college. Her mom was a maid. And certainly all of us go back to a time when our parents were servants or workers. And so at some point somebody had to break that cycle to extend their education. But to disrespect, I mean, I knew that my mom went to college and my father was owned a construction company. And never in my life did I look down at either one of my parents in terms of their education or their abilities, because they brought so much to the table to me. I mean, my dad had skills that I just were unbelievable, that I couldn't even begin to have in terms of his creativity and his ability to just build things and create a business back in the day that he was creating a business. And so to have someone disrespect their parents in such a way that they didn't want anybody to know who their parents was just hard to believe that someone would be finding themselves doing that in 2017 and at the age of 27. It's just like, again, I'm asking, when do we get beyond this? And like I said, this young lady it's just not her, because there is an industry that is creating a lotion or a chemical that can go on your skin to lighten your skin up. So, again, you're trying to destroy who you are in an effort to recreate yourself. And, you know, we know and we feel like Michael Jackson did that same thing. And so at what point do we get beyond this self hatred for our skin color?
Thank you, James. I am ready to comment now. And thanks to the ladies that participate in the show, it has brought me to a point where what I like to say is I think that we're dealing with a fundamental issue. You know, in modern times, the beauty industry, magazines, the modeling agencies, even the rappers for a long time in their videos wouldn't use anything but the light-skinned woman. As to say, the light-skinned woman is more attractive and they get all the breaks. And so when it comes down to the fundamentals of rectifying that narrative, I think that we as parents, and new parents especially, should be informed and aware that when you see something like that, even to become in your child's way of thinking, you should correct it immediately. Say, for instance, if one of your child called the other one, "Oh, black so-and-so," stop it right there. Correct it. Ask the tough question, "And what's wrong with her being black?" So children and young people growing up, they follow what they hear. They're not very creative in their own individual thought processes. So they only mimic what they hear. So we as the adults, and that's my marching code right there. The adults have to learn how to be adults. You know, the grandparents have to start holding their grown grandchildren feet to the fire when they let their children get away with too much. I'm a photographer, like I said, and a lot of times, especially here in South Georgia, when I take pictures of a dark-skinned person, they will actually say, "Can you make me a little lighter? I want you to make me a little lighter." And they say that. And them being a customer is not necessarily my place to dispute their wishes, but this is a mindset that they have grown up with. So we have to start holding our offspring's feet to the fire. If you got a daughter, a son, and he has children, ask them, why you let him say that? You know, I've done wedding receptions. I've done wedding receptions, and the little baby be dancing on the floor. And y'all seen the videos, and the little baby's doing the hoochie dance harder than girls at the strip club. And the young mama And the young daddy probably think that's cute. And they do think it's cute. It takes the grandparent or the uncle or somebody to go and snatch that kid off the floor and to get them to stop doing that. So, in essence, it's not cute. It's not cute to let them get away with thinking things of that nature. We just have to help them change their mindset so they can grow to be wholesome with who they are. Somebody said they got to learn how to be happy in their own skin, and that's a task in itself. I wish, and I want to say this quickly, I wish that more churches, more pastors would take the initiative, James, that you just took and implement this subject matter, because it is something that has to be addressed. We can't begin to deal with the other issues that's around our communities until we learn to love ourselves and be all right with who we are in our own skin. I can wear a pink shirt and be just fine because I know who I am. I'm very comfortable in my skin. And so I can sport that pink shirt and not have to worry about anybody thinking, oh, he wearing a pink shirt. And so what? I am. So it takes training. And so we have to take the initiative to redirect that mindset. Thank you.
And I'm not sure, other than what you said, Dee, I'm not sure exactly what steps you need to take. And I don't know what steps my parents took. But again, both my parents were chocolate colored on the dark skin side. And I never want, and I don't have any favorite in color in terms of skin color. But what I do know is if you do have an issue with dark skin, then you got that self-hatred. And we need to call a spade, and because people don't want to believe that they hate themselves. But part of hating people who are like you is hating something that's within you. And so if you don't come to grips with why you don't like yourself, you can't begin to help us move our race forward. And until we get African-Americans and people of color to respect themselves and love themselves, we're not going to be able to get over some of the issues that we have with incarceration, that we have with education, and we have with those things that are keeping us from reaching our top level. So we have to deal with our children at the very beginning. And again, I thought we were beyond this. I mean, I thought, you know, people were buying their kids black dolls, telling them that the black doll is much more, is just as attractive, if not more attractive, than the white doll. And if we are still dealing with some of these same issues in this day and time, and our kids haven't gotten beyond this, how can we work, you know, my issue is, how can we work on the issues that we have with education if we can't get beyond the skin color issue? I love who I am. I love my heritage. I love my history. I bask in the fact that the obstacles we've overcome, and I just don't understand why the majority of people out there, and no, I believe the majority does feel the way I feel, but the fact that we're still battling some of these minority individuals, these small 10 or so percent of people who are still stuck on stupid is upsetting to me. And that was one of the terms I think the judge used on this woman, was that she was stupid and that she wasn't very educated. She asked her, "You must not have learned anything in your history class." So she was very abusive to this young woman as she stated her case. Joyce?
Yes?
You know, I mean, how do we, and I know that you have two professional young men and you always kept them, you know, what steps did you do to make sure that they were proud of themselves, not only intellectually, but from their physical standpoint as well?
Well, our family is closely knit. We did a lot of family reunions where we let the elderly talk. and tell about our history, our blueprint, what we're made of. Growing up with our kids, we watched a lot of movies, different movies, particularly movies that can identify who we are, how we are, how to carry ourselves. We can stop it at that time. You can stop the movie, ask questions, play it back. Oh, did you get that? Did you get where that was coming from? You know, and just live in it. You live in who you are, never forgetting your history as to what you're all about. I come from Mississippi, from the South. So living in the South, we have no identity problem. You know, you learn quickly where you stand, where you fit in, how to maneuver through the system, you know, how to address. I learned from my dad, my mom, and someone said, well, my dad didn't have either an 8th grade education, my mom did, but he had a master in common sense, you know. And that's what it takes. It takes a lot of talking, a lot of explaining, being one-on-one with a person, being involved in that person, and do not leave the street or anyone else to teach your child as to who they are and what they are and what they stand for. Both of my sons, I got a plaque for them and let them know what their last name meant, that when they got that last name, it had no stain on it, and we expect no stain on it when you pass it over to your son. So we just remind who we are, what we're all about, and that's just a part of it, communicating.
You know, you have to commit to being proud of who you are. You know, I know a lot of African-Americans talk about, well, you need to change your name because that's your white slave master's name, and it was given to you to tell people who owned you. You know, and I've heard that a lot. But you know what I have decided? My name was given to me by my father. And if my father was proud of his name, his father was proud of his name, and his father's father was proud of his name. And I'm going to be proud of the Deshea name. My name is not a very common name, Deshea, and it comes from, you know, a lot of people say it's French. Well, I think it came from Louisiana because I've never been to France, so I don't know if it came from France or not. So the closest place I could think of it came from was Louisiana. But I know I'm proud of it 110%. And nobody is going to make me feel unhappy or unproud of who I am and what my heritage is. And it goes back even to slavery because I think it made me a better man. Those of us who survived tells us that we are survivors and that there are no other race of people who could have survived what we survived and that we are better because we know that we can overcome all types of obstacles, and at least that was we should have gotten from that. And for us to be dealing with the color of our skin, to me, is just utterly ridiculous. And we got to implement some steps to make sure our kids get that in their heads. So when you have a light-skinned kid who's looking at a darker-skinned kid, he shouldn't feel like somehow or another he got privilege. He should look at them and see themselves. And I say that same thing about people from Haiti. And when I was teaching in class, I would have some African-American students who would want to disrespect Haitian students. And I wouldn't tolerate it because I told them the only difference from them and you is they stopped, their boat stopped sooner, and they got it off earlier. And that's the only difference. And so you need to respect that you all got to America, or got to this hemisphere in the same fashion. And it is just ridiculous that we find ourselves still dealing with this foolishness. You know, because a lot of times, and again, I have to be honest, when I get real close enough to someone who is of the fair skin complexion, you know, I'll say something funny, or I try to be funny, and I hope it doesn't hurt their feelings. I don't mean it maliciously, but I'll say things like, oh, you know, something in the milk ain't clean. Now, I know y'all have heard that saying. And so, and oftentimes, I'm just jugging at them, telling them, like, you know, the slave master came down that door. You know, but I don't mean it in a hateful way. I mean it in a loving manner that we're still the same and I love them. But that is just something I have heard over the years. And so it's just important that we know. And as a people, we've already always accepted our sisters and brothers who were mixed, and but not to the detriment of the majority of us. Your thoughts about that, Cassie?
Well, James, what do you mean about something in the milk ain't something in the cookies ain't milk? What did you say?
I said there's an old saying, something in milk ain't clean. And the reason for saying that is, and again, I can't tell you where I got that from. You got to know that the majority of my family is from, half of my family is from South Carolina and the other half is from Florida. And I can't tell you where I got that saying, but what it suggests is that there's some white in your background when they were very, very fair-skinned, that they were not pure black. And again, it was just something that I jokingly said in love, just to poke and tease at them just because of their fair color, but never thinking somehow or another that they were more privileged than me or better off than me because of that situation.
Okay, gotcha. Now,
you never heard that saying?
No, I haven't. And I'm from Louisiana as well, but no, I never heard of that before. First time
Joyce, please tell me you heard that before.
No, I just heard it from you.
What?
I'm sure there's so many old sayings, but no, I never heard that one until, but it probably was something that people were saying a long time ago, something in the milk ain't clean.
Had you heard that saying before?
To be honest with you, I've heard it maybe once. I've heard it maybe once, and it was in a joking fashion, and it came from maybe in a bar setting.
Okay.
Where the old heads used to hang out. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to go back and research and see where that came from. But again, what we're dealing with here is self hatred. I mean, you got to believe that we got people, young people in their 20s, still dealing with their skin color, that there's something we're doing wrong.
Well, James, I had to go look that up, and they have it in the Urban Dictionary, so it's something that supposedly we made up. Urban, you know, that means us as a people, and
right.
Then they gave like a little definition, and they said LaToya Jackson has said in the media that she thinks there was a Michael Jackson conspiracy as well. In other words, she thinks that something in the milk ain't clean, meaning it's sketchy, questionable, disputed, fishy, unbelievable. So that's what they're defining that something in the milk ain't clean as, something that's mm-hmm. sketchy, questionable, disputed, fishy, or unbelievable. So saying that to say that when you say that to somebody, then they could be thinking, oh, what, he's questioning my looks, he's questioning what I or who I am, he's disputing something about my color, or he doesn't believe it. I mean, you know, that's what this is saying, so I'm saying that to you as well, even though you said you didn't mean it in a mean way, or you weren't poking or anything, but you just said it, but then the other person receiving it could have been thinking otherwise. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I do understand that sometimes when we're poking fun, that we're using some stereotypes to make jests. And certainly, again, But I have to be honest, you know, I have a strong enough ego about myself to know or to feel like we should be proud of our heritage, no matter what our skin color. I love the fact that we come in so many different skin tones. I don't think that takes away from who we are as Americans, that we come in so many different skin tones. But you do realize that you know, in our history, suggested that there were light-skinned African-Americans were allowed to be in the house or to have to work in different conditions than those of the darkest persuasion. So, but I don't think of them as any less black because of what they may have been allowed to do.
You know, I think society has put us in a bad position where we know we have issues. The light-skinned people have issues by being light and not saying that they're fully black. Some of the blacks have issues, but you know, with other struggles that they go to and thinking that the light-skinned has a better advantage. It's just the man playing us against each other, and we're not comfortable knowing who we are. And that's just one of the acts of the devil, you know. You got to be satisfied with who you are, where you are in life, what you're all about, you know, because even though Mr. Joe over there, who may have the riches of the whole bit, he has issues, Mr. Joe, you know. Mr. Joe might not know how to love. Mr. Joe may have money, but money ain't everything. So it's all in being comfortable where you are, your position, and there's nothing wrong with growing and reaching for the stars. But you got to feel good about yourself when you go there to reach for those stars. So you'll never forget where you come from.
And it's interesting you use that term too, Joyce, because, you know, we all grew up with people using words that were negative, that, you know, and if you knew the inside joke, like Mr. Charlie, you know, as a young boy growing up, and when I would be in white neighborhoods, I would use being sarcastic. I'd say, "Oh, there come Mr. Charlie," and he knew if the white person knew the inside joke, you see a frown come on his face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because he knew that he was being ridiculed when you say, "Oh, hey, there come Mr. Charlie," you know, and you just use Jones. So it's interesting how, you know, again, you know, just coming up, growing up in an African-American environment, we heard certain things that led us to believe, to know what certain things meant. And I'm just saying, I don't know what steps my parents took to make me feel as powerful as I feel and make me feel as good about myself as I do. But certainly we need to figure out what it was so that we can help these young people who seem to be entrapped in a place, and not the majority of them, but even 10 or 15%. I don't want 10 or 15% of black Americans to feel bad about who they are. I want all of us to feel the same pride I feel every day that I walk out of my house. I feel proud about my neighborhood. I feel proud about my existence. And I want that to filter into everybody that I know or everybody that comes across my path. I want them to feel the pride that I have, and I want them to embrace it, and I want young people to embrace it. So that's the reason I'm calling out this situation where we seem to have industries that are making money on lightening the skin of African Americans. And that's just what I'm feeling right now. Regina, you came in a little late. What are your thoughts about, did you get to see the video that I tried to send you?
Nope, I've been working. I'm going to work out right now. But I wanted to join you all.
Well, Regina, are you aware of African Americans still having trouble are problems with their dark pigment of their skin color and are looking to bleach it in order to lighten it up?
You know, I've seen that one of these stars seemed to, somebody popular, some music person, came back on the scene and she was really, really lighter than what she used to be. But I know one thing that I do, you know, there are a lot of books out, children's books, Happy to Be Nappy and The Color of My Skin, just a lot of ones that I've seen that deal with that issue. And what I always do, because we have so many various cultures in my school, I always, always tell those children, do you know how beautiful you are? Look at your beautiful skin. You know, they may be coming down the hall, and I make it a point to stop. You are absolutely gorgeous. Oh, you are so pretty. And their eyes start twinkling, just dancing and smiling, just a beautiful smile. And we've got to start intentionally telling people that. We tear each other down. See a lady in the store, somebody else might say, oh, she thinks she's cute. I say, girl, your hair is gorgeous, or you are very pretty. Or I'm working to get towards your size. Girl, you wearing that outfit. We do not compliment each other. We tear each other down. And we may say that it doesn't matter. Oh, I don't pay attention. Yes, it does matter. We do pay attention to what people say. So that we've got to be more intentional about that to build up our society, our own culture. And until we do that, then these businesses are going to continue to make money off of our insecurity.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
I will be the one to hold you. I will be the
Hear you talking about you from an older generation, but you're not that much older than myself. But I do know, I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, the 60s and coming up through the 60s and the proudness that we carried because of people like Muhammad Ali and James Brown. And, you know, James Brown did something for us in the 60s or early 70s that was our national anthem for being black, was "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud." Now, that had to be one of the greatest hits during its time that allowed us to just be able to walk around with our head up truly high, don't you think?
Yeah, I do, James, I do. And that during that time really served us well as a people. You know, because my theory was that, you know, when Dr. King was killed, there was a void left in our community. We was on the march of doing something great. And when they extinguished that idea, we was kind of at a loss and didn't know what to do. And so with James Brown and the help of the Black Panther Party at that time, that gave us an identity. And so we carried that for the longest time. Somewhere along the line, we got distracted in a way where we lost our group identity and became more individual. But I like what Regina said, you know, the idea of paying the compliment forward. And I think that's the real solution. It's an easy solution. It's not very difficult at all to pay the compliment forward. I think what that does, it shows the younger folk that, you know, you can get outside of yourself. You don't have to be as boastful as once you had to be to be identified. So, you know, paying it forward, the compliment, is a great solution. I think if we all did that, even the young people, if you just try doing that, it will come back to you tenfold, you know. You know, I have no problem telling the brother, man, I like that car, man. I mean, that car is really fly, you know. And when you do that, they're somewhat surprised that you actually giving them a compliment about their achievements. You know, so we don't do that enough as a group. But I think that's our quick solution to this problem about a lack of identity. So I think if we all just try that a lot more, we will get a greater result.
You are so correct. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, what are your thoughts about during that time when James Brown was out there saying, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud"? We didn't have people, "I'm light-skinned."
No.
Oh,
I don't know about it, James.
No, I'm just saying, I don't recall
know I'm light skinned. What?
Light skin when James Brown was singing, I'm black and I'm proud.
I think we were
all
just
black then.
I think we were just so excited about being associated with someone that would just come out and say it. We knew that that's who we were, and for him to sing it just made us even happier, excited about being who we were, because so often people try to down our color and how we look. So when someone brings it forefront to make it the beauty of what it is, then it was an exciting time for people to embrace who they actually were. As so it was when we got President Obama, people were more excited about who they were, you know?
And Kathy, just like you say, I can tell you and be honest with you, when I was back there in the days when we were out there partying and having fun, and even back when James Brown came out with that song, I know I wasn't going to no club when he came, so I can't identify with what they... But I think white America was jealous because we were having so much fun and enjoying ourselves so much. They just couldn't understand, why are them black folks so happy? You understand? We had Muhammad Ali kicking people's behind. We had James Brown saying, we black and we proud. I mean, I went to school feeling good every day.
You're not feeling good right now.
No, I'm mad. I'm upset about some of our people not feeling good. I'm feeling great. I look at the future with such open eyes about what we can accomplish as long as we use the tools that we have and stop dealing with these issues that should have been solved a long time ago. I just seen this as an issue that should not be a part of our present dealings right now. Joyce, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I agree with you 100% on that. Well, I think what happened was is that the minority wanted to be a certain way, wanted to be like the other people, and the other people tried to be like the minority. So actually we didn't know who we were, and we didn't feel good enough about our skins, so we felt that the other people were better than us. You know, one of the jobs that I had, I didn't like my supervisor for the simple reason because he told me this. He said, can I ask you a question? And this is when we was doing our review, the one-on-one type of thing. And I told him yes, because, you know, I'm just who I am. He said, well, I can't figure out why black folks, he said, it's a personal question, why do blacks get upset and everything when they don't like to be called the hoes and bitches and everything, but on MTV they sing about hoes and bitches all the time. I was so mad at my boss, I did not know what to do. At the time, I never did watch MTV any darn way, but my thing is, he's trying to say, why should I respect you when your own kind is not even respecting you because they're calling you hoes and bitches? Can you believe that a supervisor asked me that question? So in other words, he was telling me, you know, your people don't even care too much about themselves and who they are, and why should they get mad when we call them that? But then they singing it, and that's how they see they woman. You know, I was just stunned. Came home, told my husband I was so pissed I did not know what to do. But this is a person in upper management telling me some stuff like that. I was, you know, what can you say? But you know what I told him I don't even watch MTV, but I do know that this is how I expect to be treated, with respect. And I was just, that's my message to him. But then I came home and I started looking at MTV. You know what I mean? You know, and so we got to start taking pride in who we are first. That's where it began, and who you are deep down as to who you are, what you represent, what your blueprint is all about, where you come from, and just feel good about you.
And you're right. We need to figure out a way to get into the lives of these rappers and help them to better understand that they have an obligation to change the message. And some some rappers are out there are changing the message a little bit.
I've noticed
enough,
that. A lot of them are changing.
Some of them are changing the message. But we need the industry as a whole to recognize the impact they're having on that small minority of African Americans who see themselves as thugs and as gangbangers and who are just destroying some of our inner city neighborhoods with this foolishness. And so that's what my angle is, you hear, Kathy, is that I think we have to – I sent all of you guys an email, too. And part of the email that I wrote when I wrote my Just a Thought was, we cannot be happy only with our success. We can't be happy with how we see the world. We have to do what it takes to help those who are blind to see the world better. We have to do what it takes to help those who are in despair, who are disheartened, to see that there's a better way to live. And so we have to be obligated, not just being the fact that we can go eat where we want to, we can go where we want to, we can go do anything we pretty much want to do, but be satisfied with that, but there's somebody down the street or around the corner or, you know, across the field who sees the world totally different. We have to be about the business of helping every man or woman of color to see the world or America in the way that we see it so that they can be inspired to do something about their lives. And that's what if I feel angry, that's what I'm angry about. I'm angry about that 10% that is not proud about who they are and where they came from. I tell you what, we're going to go on break, and then we'll come back with our final thoughts.
Okay. look, I think you hit on it when you said that.
Go ahead, G. I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I thought you were still open for me. I think you hit on it when you said that we are more than capable of dealing with this problem and other problems that we come across. You know, just like today, you yourself flipped the script, and instead of us still contemplating on things of the world, we choose to deal with another issue. So I think collectively we do have exactly what it takes to rally ourselves and get to where we need to be. And I think one of the things, like we said before, is trying to pay the compliment forward, and it will come back to us tenfold. Thanks.
All right. We'll take a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll have our final word.
Power, but you just don't understand.
All right, this is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to just ask all of you to make sure that you go by my webpage and let me know what you think. That's www.jamestdeshay.com. Kathy, I want to make sure you realize that I try real hard not to jump into politics every day and give us different options to talk about. So I'm going to give you the final word today, start off with you today. But I just want to remind you that, you know, it's real hard, but I do find other things to talk about instead of just politics.
And I just want to thank you so much for that, James. Thank you for being kind and understanding and just believing that there is other things outside of politics. I love you for that. I love the panel, everybody on here. I just want you guys to know I love you, I pray for you, and you're always on my mind.
Outstanding. And, you know, I like that you are so deep in my spirit, Kathy, that I every time I think of a topic, I have to remember, what would Kathy say? All right, Joyce, what is your last word for this evening, Joyce?
Thank you so much, Kathy. Continue to pray. Challenges are out there amongst us so much. And we're just going to have to keep strong, and the unity is everything. I appreciate this group so much. You guys have no idea how much you do for me, just to even let me just express myself and just to be with you or be a part, you know, give me a different perspective, because a lot of times when you're struggling by yourself, it's just no fun. So definitely keep me in your prayers, and I love you, Kathy, because your emails come at the right time when you let me know just to keep pushing forward. So I love you guys very, very much.
All right, Dee, your final word for this evening?
Yes, also I'd like to thank Kathy for being the voice of reason for this group. I was under the same mindset where I needed to detox from the issues that we've been dealing with. And so and I want to also concur that this group means a lot to me, because it's hard to find people that's willing to indulge in a civil and thought-minded type of conversation. A lot of people just don't want to indulge. And so I look forward to this group every night, and I just want to thank you all for being here for me. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I am a very open-minded person. I'm willing to put my feelings and my thoughts out there, and I want all of us to be honest about what we're feeling and what we're thinking, even down to some of the things you might not share in mixed company. But I'm going to tell you that when you chastise me, and I can feel a chastising no matter what it is you say or do, but when you chastise me about some of the things I share, I do look at it and I think about it. Sometimes I'm stubborn, and I'm going to have to reevaluate if I should use that old saying that somebody taught me, something in the milk ain't clean. But it is one that has been with me so long, I don't know if I can totally let go of it. But I will reevaluate whether or not if it's appropriate in mixed company or not. And so I just want you to always know that I'm thinking about what you say on this show, and I'm thinking about how to incorporate it into my way of thinking. We should always take something away from this show to challenge our direction and see if we're doing the right things in order to create a better environment for the people behind us, a better environment for those who are struggling with us. And so I just want to let you know I appreciate you, and I always listen to everything that you bring to the table. I just want to encourage those of you who are out there listening to call into the show. Put down 657-383-0309 on your refrigerator or near your phone. understand that this show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Time every day, Sunday through Friday. And the only time we're not at 6 p.m. Eastern Time is on Saturdays when we come on at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and so that we can enjoy a little more people at a later hour. So I just want to thank all of you and encourage you all to call in. We need more and more people calling in so we can get more and more opinions. Your opinions will always be respected and appreciated, and we'll all benefit from having heard what you wanted to say about what's going on in our world. I want to thank again all of those of you who called in, and I just want to say I continue to love what I do and love that you are a part of my dream. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Friday.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting.
What you dream.